Hello, lovely people. It is me, Tamu Thomas, founder of the Live360 brand, author of the very soon to be published Women Who Work Too Much. And today I am here with an episode entitled Corporate Baddie to Corporate Saddie. And the inspiration behind this episode is that I work with and I have observed a number of women who thrived. Maybe not exactly thrived, but excelled within a corporate environment, earning well over £60,000 a year in their corporate, was somebody who was maybe not rewarded and praised in a way that is that reflects all the hard work they did, but they were somebody who had a reputation for excellence. They did really well in what they were doing. They played a major role within the organization that they had, but the organization didn't provide them with the support and care they needed. Maybe they weren't given the pay rises they should have been paid. Maybe they found out that a man was doing exactly the same job, not to the same level they were, and were getting paid more. Maybe they had childcare responsibilities that meant they were no longer as able or willing to devote so much time, so much of their life to their career, and they decided to become self-employed. And something very interesting happens. The people I'm referring to are quote unquote good girls. They have been conditioned to do things well, to follow the rules, to tick all of the things off the list. On paper, their world looks great. They have got the career, the relationship, the qualifications. If they want to have the children, maybe they've got the children. On paper, it looks like they're doing really well. However, they were doing well in the context of working in a career and having a structure where A, they had a structure that they were told, this is your job description, this is your structure, this is what you need to do every day. And if you do these things every day, like a good girl, you will be rewarded with external validation, you will be rewarded with praise, you will be rewarded with more work and more responsibility, not necessarily more praise. You will be rewarded with being the person who chaperones and supports new starters. You will be the person who we rely on in meetings. You will be somebody that we know is able to ideate and deliver really quickly. And they are able to do that because they are performing for external validation. They know that they are being monitored. They've got very clear performance indicators they need to work towards. There are standard operating procedures, even in their organization, and they know what they need to do to be good, right? They've got a very good understanding of what they need to do to be good. So, let's take somebody, let's call her Sarah. And Sarah is a high-performing corporate manager. She is known for her punctuality. Maybe she's the first one in, she's the last one out, and she is always exceeding her targets. She takes pride in doing her work to the best of her ability. She likes to get things done on time, even if that means she needs to stay behind or take work home. She comes across as very motivated. She's a self-starter. Once she knows what she needs to do, she goes off and does it. And she becomes self-employed. She is tired of the constraints and the structure and the rules and regulations of being in a corporate environment. And now she has all of this freedom. But with that freedom, she is not creating a structure, so she doesn't know what she needs to do when. This then creates a apathy and a slowness. She used to be very driven, in fact, overdriven. She was somebody that was considered to be a type A personality, that A for anxiety, that anxiety is a motivational tool. She doesn't have the same anxiety about performing and being good and living up to the expectation of others. Now she's faced with living up to her own expectations. The thing is, because she's been conditioned to be a good girl, because she's been conditioned to seek her validation and reward from other people and from externally, she has not built the mechanisms, the ability, or the she has not practiced meeting her own targets. She has not practiced being quote unquote good for herself. What she has practiced is neglecting herself, coming in early, staying late, taking work home, working through her lunch break, supporting other staff, even though she's really busy, taking on new tasks, even though she's overwhelmed with what she's got. So she has learnt that in order to be a good girl, she needs to neglect herself so that she can be seen to be good and nice and devoted and ambitious by other people. So what she has learned is that, quite frankly, her word means shit. She can not keep promises to herself because by not keeping promises to herself, she's able to devote all of her energy to getting external validation. So when she becomes self-employed and is working for herself, she does not see her value. She doesn't understand that she can validate herself. She doesn't know that her sense of worth is intrinsic. So she is looking for external validation, but not believing that she can validate herself or not believing the validation she gives herself. So she feels unworthy. The more unworthy she feels, the less motivated she is, the less she does, and she believes this story that she can't get her act together. She'll probably be better off in a corporate environment. She's never going to have the success working for herself that she did when she was employed. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some people self-employment is not for. In fact, I would say the vast majority of people are better off being employed. You need to be not just motivated, but you need to be committed and dedicated and have a flexible growth mindset for self-employment because you have to create that structure. You have to create your goals. You have to have a system so that you have clear key performance indicators so you know what you're working towards. You need to have support in place that's going to help you keep on track because we're not designed to do it alone. And you need to be honest with yourself and honest about your goals because you're no longer living up to the goals and metrics of an organization that is over there. You are now living up to the goals and metrics and intentions, whatever you want to call it, of yourself. And they may not be the same as an organization. Quite often, people go into self-employment, starting their own business because they want more freedom, they want more autonomy, they want more flexibility, and also they want to be able to have more control over the money they make. And I'm not talking about absolute control. When you're employed, you are told that your salary bracket is this, and at your appraisals, if you meet certain criteria, you may get a pay rise, which is within a certain bracket. And when you're working for yourself, you can put yourself in a position where you can out earn what you did in your corporate. But if you've got the self-worth things going on, you're constantly seeking external validation, etc., it's going to be very difficult, almost impossible. What I want to say, it's going to be impossible, but I won't be absolute about it. It is going to be extremely challenging for you to even replace your corporate salary when you have all of these feelings of low self-worth and this good girl conditioning taking place because you're going to be tied up in seeking external validation, for example, likes and engagement on social media, rather than doing the real work that moves the needle on your business. So, good girl conditioning can really hamper your ability to thrive in a self-employed or in your own business, taking you from being a corporate baddie to a corporate saddie, I mean, to a self-employed saddie, because you know. You've got the skills, you know, you've got the qualification, and you know that you have done what you're attempting to do in your business in a corporate environment, but you just can't get it together. And I am putting it to you that for many women in business, other genders as well, but I work with women, so that's what my focus is. You are unable to take that corporate baddie and translate that to being a self-employed baddie because you're so caught up in the metrics of external validation. So, good girl conditioning creates an environment where you're constantly seeking the validation of other people. Now, don't get me wrong, we are human beings. We are the most pro-social creatures on this planet. We are hardwired for connection. We do need the validation of other people. But when our entire self-worth, self-esteem, self-belief, trust depends on being validated by others, Houston, we have a problem because it means that you are unable to emotionally regulate yourself. You're not able to validate yourself because you're dependent on other people. So for that, I would lean into the world of Carol Dweck, who is a professor of psychology at Stanford University. She's done a lot of work around growth mindset. And one of her quotes is, "In a growth mindset, challenges are exciting rather than threatening." So good girl conditioning is tethered to perfectionism. And you have, perfectionists, good girls, have a fixed mindset. They believe invariably there is one way to do things, and if you deviate from that way, you're breaking the rules, therefore you are bad. However, it means that you are limiting your ability to think creatively, to be solutions focused, and to create a system and structure that supports you as a self-employed person. When people become self-employed or start their own business, they have this sense that they can throw up the rule book from their corporate role and they don't need the structure. They can follow their energy. They can be dictated by flow. But what they're talking about is not actually flow, it's drift. They're going round and round in circles and they are so resistant to structure because of their corporate experience. They're not creating the structure they need within their business, which means they're directionless because they're not setting clear goals. And then if you haven't got clear goals, you cannot create a strategy and a system to support you to achieve that goal. You end up spinning your wheels, going round and round in circles, and keep thinking, well, my potential is up here. Why aren't I able to reach my potential? The reason you're not able to reach your potential is because you're not creating the systems and structures you need to have in place that is going to enable you to reach there. You're so focused on your potential, you're not looking at the reality of where you are now. Or when you look at the reality of where you are now, you're looking down from high and judging yourself rather than working towards your potential. So I'm going to interject my own ad break here. And I'm going to say if any of what you've heard so far resonates with you, I implore you to check out my Life and Business Sanctuary membership. This is a membership for purpose-driven social impact entrepreneurs who want to make their purposeful business that makes a positive change in the world from being purposeful and running like a poorly funded charity with no direction and you not making it sustainable to becoming profitable and creating peaceful systems so that you can live a pleasurable life. Come and join the Life and Business Sanctuary. It is now the 22nd of February. If you join ASAP, you can take part in Shift One, which is all about purpose, where there are two courses that are going to help you get clear about your purpose, help you create a healthy partnership with money and time, and get clear about what your goals are, your objectives are. And then you're going to take all of that information and combine it with your qualifications and your expertise to create a flagship offer you love to sell. And then from the 4th of March to the 25th of March, you can take part in our Launch Well Challenge, where you will be supported to launch that offer. It's going to include an expert masterclass from one of the best sales and launch messaging strategists on the block, and you will have the support of the membership community as well as me to launch your product. It means that you could invest in the membership and make back three times the return on your investment by the 25th of March, as long as you have a viable product. So, again, if any of what I've shared so far or throughout this episode resonates with you, click the link in the show notes. Come in and join the Life and Business Sanctuary. It is currently available at the founder rate, which is a steal at £47 a month or £470 for the year. And I am inviting you to come in and make your investment back threefold by the end of March. Okay, back to the matter at hand. So when you are able to adopt a growth mindset, and rather than be fixed and believing there's only one way to do things, you are then able to think more creatively and look at more solutions that are going to support you to get to the destination you want to. You do not have to confine yourself to being a good girl. Instead, you can take action and be a bold woman. That's what your business needs. There are all sorts of ways you can support yourself to do this. One of my fail-safe ways is to have a debrief once you have completed a project or task. It doesn't need to take 28,000 years, and it will literally be asking yourself these questions. At the end of each piece of each significant project, what went well? How it could be even better, so even better if. Next time, I will do more of. Next time, I will do less of, and then I celebrate myself for, and me of 5 years ago would say XXX. This way, you are holistically reviewing that task. It means you have the opportunity to savor and take in the task you just completed rather than running from one thing to the next and not registering the piece of work you did. You are using a strengths-based model to debrief, to review and reflect and assess yourself. And you are ending with a celebration and acknowledging what you of the past would think of how you have, how you're operating today. That alone is game-changing and helps to break down that good girl conditioning and simultaneously enables you to begin the practice of validating yourself. External validation is an illusion because it doesn't last. External validation is like eating a chocolate bar when what you need is a sumptuous home-cooked meal. External validation keeps you snacking on the scraps other people offer you. When you have got the combination of being able to validate yourself, seeing yourself as worthy, knowing that you are intrinsically worthy, your worth isn't based on your productivity. And I talk about that a lot in my book, Women Who Work Too Much, which is out on the 5th of March. Some people are already receiving notifications that the book is going to be delivered to them, like in the next few days. I will pop a link to purchase my book in the show notes because it's going to help you understand where that good girl conditioning came from. It's going to help you break it down. There are lots of tools and strategies and somatic practices to help you be the sovereign, the head of your state, being the person who is able to emotionally regulate and find people who you are aligned with that you can co-regulate with. Because again, you know, we're hardwired for connection. We're supposed to do things in tandem with other people. But when you are able to get over that addiction to the saccharine sweet external validation, whether it's from managers in your corporate, likes on social media, or whatever your validation of choice is, that will be extra. That will affirm and boost rather than be what you rely on. So I'm going to dip into the world of Kristin Neff, who has done some brilliant research on self-compassion. Self-validation is and self-compassion are partners. Self-compassion, in essence, is treating yourself the way you would do a good friend. When you can see that a good friend is doing well, or a good friend is not acknowledging how well they are doing, you will take the time to reflect back to them their magnificence, their greatness, everything they're doing. That's the same for you. And I'm going to mention my membership group again. My membership group is full of people who are will become your best cheerleaders. They are so supportive. They're able to reflect back to you parts of you're not able to see for yourself. And I too do that within my membership community. I have courses and resources. And we also have weekly live group calls where you are going to be seen, valued, and held. It's not the same as the intimacy of one of my group coaching programs or working one-to-one, but seeing yourself in other people, hearing other people's experience, seeing my interactions and other people's interactions with people within the group is going to resonate, or it's highly likely to resonate with a part of you, which will be hugely self-validating. Also, seeing me being compassionate with other people, seeing other people in the group being compassionate with each other, seeing people in the group being compassionate with themselves gives you a reference point, becomes role modeling for you to be able to understand and see in real time the power of self-compassion. And it takes it from being this weak, meek thing that people who are fragile do, to powerful vulnerability and radical self-care. I talk about self-compassion in my book also because it is one of the antidotes to the oppression we experience in our society. And if you, again, leaning into the world of Kristen Neff, if you lean into the world of fierce compassion is the sort of thing that gets people in the streets demonstrating. Fierce compassion is the sort of thing that gets people advocating for themselves and other people in the workplace. Fierce compassion is what gets you getting your email out and emailing your MP campaigning for change. So I urge you not to dismiss compassion like it's some meek and mild thing. It is radical. It is life-changing. It is alchemic. Fierce compassion takes rightful anger and rage and injustice and channels it to create equity, justice, and all of that kind of stuff. The next place I want to visit is when my corporate baddies were working in corporates, they had big goals they were working towards because the company has its objectives. They have personal objectives that are set and reviewed in appraisals and supervision, etc. Then they leave corporate, things get a bit challenging in self-employment, and they start setting goals that don't mean anything, goals that don't stretch them enough, goals that feel really meek and mild and tepid and quite frankly boring. I'm going to lean into the world of Edwin Locke and Gary Latham with their goal setting theory. And they emphasize how clear and challenging goals enhance motivation and satisfaction. One of their quotes are, "High goals lead to greater effort than low goals." When you don't need to make much effort, you don't have much motivation and much drive to do the work to create the change. It's the difference between going for a leisurely walk because you fancy it, because it's a nice day outside, and having a steady pace because you want to get to a certain destination within a certain time frame. When people have experiences that mean they're not getting that external validation and they're not getting the praise and reward externally, and as I talked about at the top, they do not have the practice and they do not value their own validation, they don't have a strong sense of self-worth and self-esteem, they can believe that I can just mosey on down, I've got all of this freedom. That freedom is actually drift and randomness, which leads to mediocrity. So it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they start to believe, well, maybe that goal was too big for me. Maybe I need to set a lower goal, when actually your corporate career shows you that you are dedicated, that you can be driven, and you need to transfer some of that, not the unhealthy, toxic productivity, but you need to transfer some of that to your business so that you are setting goals that match your capacity and are aligned with your capability. When we're setting goals that are too low, we're having to do the back-breaking work of bending down all the time, which causes pain, as opposed to setting goals that cause us to stretch, not because they're so far out of reach, but they cause us to stretch enough so that we have to act different. We have to be different. We have to leave behind a lot of the behaviors that aren't going to support us. I liken it to you start strength training and you have a goal of being able to squat 70 kg on the squat rack. You know that you need to practice on a regular basis and you need to gradually increase the weights you're squatting. Otherwise, you're never going to get to that 70 kg. If you start at squatting 10 kg and you say, oh gosh, that's really hard, I'm going to go to 5 kg and I'm going to make 10 kg my maximum instead of the 70, you're not going to be able to do the work to create the strength necessary and the stamina to be able to increase your weights. It's the same thing with the goals. If you are not setting goals that are stretchy enough for you to make the effort to be able to grow into that new level, basically, what got you here won't get you there. You're going to be stuck engaging in behaviors that keep you at the same level rather than support you to grow. It's a bit like constantly doing the training for couch to 5K when you're actually trying to do a marathon. You are able to do a marathon if you put the practice in and if you do the training that is aligned with reaching the goal of doing that marathon. And you might say, well, I've done coaching programs, I've had a coach before, I've been in membership groups, I've done courses. The difference is when people who are impacted by this corporate baddie to self-employed saddie business because of good girl conditioning, what they have a tendency to do is they get all of the insights, they understand the theory of what they're supposed to do. During the call, when the coach is cheering them on, and when they're having the check-ins with the coach, and they know they're going to be at the next coaching call, and they want to be able to demonstrate that they've been good and they've done these tasks they're supposed to do. People are able to do that. But when they're not having that monitoring or when they're left to their own devices, they're not able to follow through. Another version of it is they go to the coaching and they know the stuff cognitively. They understand, they get the insights, but once they're off that coaching call, they don't implement it because they don't have anybody to impress. And then they get into a situation where they're like, well, I know what to do. They don't quite register that they're not following through in a way that will get them towards their goal. And then they say the coaching program was rubbish. The coach was rubbish. The membership wasn't very good. Now, don't get me wrong. There are plenty of coaches and coaching programs that aren't all they're cracked up to be. But a good 70-odd percent of the time, that's just my math from my observations, people come unstuck because they are not doing the work outside of the coaching calls because they are trapped in that cycle of needing external validation and constant supervision to take action. So, what I am going to leave you with is join my membership group, buy my book, but on the real, I want you to start doing the debrief, doing the check-in. At the end of any significant piece of work you complete, so that you can register the piece of work rather than running from one thing to the next and not taking stock of what you've completed, because that's a huge issue. And so that you start to recognize what you've done, cheer yourself on, look at what you're going to take forward, look at the things that aren't as helpful from a strength-based place. Keep it in a journal, have a journal dedicated to it, because then you're going to be able to track your progress. You're going to be able to identify patterns. You're going to see what works, what doesn't work so well, so that you've got good data about areas for improvement. And you are going to start to see yourself. You are going to start building a relationship with yourself where you're able to validate yourself, see your worth. And that's going to build into self-trust. Okay, that's it for now. If you have any questions, observations, or thoughts, please do pop them in the comments box comment box wherever you're listening or watching this episode. And I will see you maybe in my membership group. Maybe you will get a copy of my book. But I will see you, or you'll hear from me, on the next episode. Take care. Goodbye.